All right, good morning. You can open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and we'll read one verse there as we get started. It's going to be our launching point. The title of the message today is Even As He Walked. And it's a continuation of the last message that I gave. Because as you'll see, I have a handout here in a minute. You'll see why I say that. So 1 John chapter 2, we'll read verse 6. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I wanted to think about today is the pattern that the Lord Jesus is for us in our Christian life. And to begin the message, I wanted to share a quote. This I was reading yesterday as I was preparing. It's by Dwight L. Moody, written in the late 1800s. He says, "When a house is to be built, before the masons and the carpenters commence work, the architect is called in to make a drawing of the building. As the workmen conform to his plans, they realize the ideal that was in his mind." And so as we think of, you know, the example that we have in the Lord Jesus, it's like that architect, the one who put together the plans, and then we work it out. Another quote that I was thinking of, that I got this from my aunt a few years ago, from some comedian. It says, quote, "I read recipes the same way I read science fiction. I get to the end and think, well, that's not going to happen." And, you know, it's the Lord has really given us a great pattern for us to remember. And, you know, maybe we have in our own opinions that it's really too high to work out. But that's what I want to challenge today in your thinking. So I read this verse, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, that says that if we say that we abide in the Lord Jesus, then we ought also to walk even as the Lord Jesus walked. There's some other verses that list him as our example. John chapter 13, verse 15, it says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." And so what I want us to think about this morning is, how did Christ walk? What did Christ do while he was here on the earth? What were his steps? And what I ultimately want you to come to understand and see with me is that our walk as believers is patterned after something much greater, something which God ultimately intended for all mankind. And that was human life lived in perfect harmony and fellowship with God. And this perfect human life that God desired for us is the same life that was demonstrated by His Son. And you know, we all have lived our Christian lives and we fail more often than we'd like. And so we might come to the conclusion, well, this is too high or this is unattainable. And the truth of the matter is that's really not true. God hasn't just given us an architectural plan or a recipe to follow. He's given us a perfect example, a pattern to follow after. In fact, it's even greater than that. The same plan which Christ communicates to us of the balanced relationship between love and obedience, if you remember that message that I gave the last time, was in fact demonstrated in the same way in Christ's life. And that's what we're going to think about this morning when it came to his relationship with his Father. And, you know, last time we thought of the relationship between love and obedience. But we'll see this week that while that is certainly a pattern for us to follow after, it goes well beyond just those items. Another quote from this article by D.L. Moody, he says, "This man Gladstone once said that precept freezes while example warms. Precept is a marble statue while example is a thing of flesh and blood. The great defect of other religions and philosophies is that while they may contain beautiful maxims and exhortations, they do not give the power to follow these out. But Christ embodied what he taught. He was a living example that we may imitate. And so this message today is a message of hope, one that we can ultimately set our eyes on the perfect example, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what is important, and see that we have a pattern that transcends humanity and conforms it to God. Rather than focusing on our failures, let us set our mind on things above where Christ is. Let us think about our lives which are hid with Christ in God. Let us think on Christ who is our life. Let us think on these things. And so with that, I wanted to hand out my my handout for this time. So if I could get two guys to maybe hand these out. Hopefully there are enough copies. So
should be enough for everybody to get one.
If not, go make some copies in the office, please. So this handout is very similar to what we thought about the last time. So for those who weren't here the last time, we thought about the relationship of these three things in the life of the believer. And those three things were the love of Christ, so Christ's love for us. We thought of our love for the Lord Jesus, and then we thought of obedience in regards to that. And so if you want to look at my little diagram that I put together on the my little block or circle diagram down at the bottom, you have those three things together. And what we recalled from the last time that we met was that the ultimate pattern for us was that Christ's love is the motivating factor for this cycle to be put in place. We remember 1 John 4:19, which says, "We love him because he first loved us." It's Christ's love for us that should motivate us. And then in John 14:15, it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And so we have this cycle that pulls together. And Christ says in John chapter 15 that is joy. We'll see joy in our Christian lives. But when you look at this pattern that should be operating in our own Christian lives, you have I've called it a transcendent example. And that transcendent example is the example that we have in the life of the Lord Jesus. And so when it comes to thinking about our Christian lives, we have something much greater. And I think this will give us hope as we think about what God ultimately intends for us. You know, our Christian life isn't one where we're left to fend for ourselves. Our Christian life isn't one where we're, instead of being conformed to God, we're going to be conformed to some lower being of life, as the world would try to teach today. We have a lot of things to be thankful for and look to. The other thing is, you know, if this is what God intended for us as believers, that we should be walking even as the Lord Jesus walked, then we should see in what the Lord Jesus portrayed for us exactly what God desires for us. And that's where I think this is such a great thing to think about, is that it takes us outside of ourselves and really gives us something to put our hope and trust in. And as you recall from the last time, we started with Christ's love for us. And in this cycle, we'll start in the same place, except for the Lord Jesus, when he was here on the earth, it was his Father's love for him. And so, if you read the verses that I have, if you flip over to the side of the page that has the verses on it, we start with a verse out of Christ's high priestly prayer in John 17. And there, Christ says, speaking to his Father, that his Father loved him before the foundation of the world. The first love that there ever was the Father's love for His Son. And if you then compare that with the first mention of the word love in the Bible itself, I think that this again confirms that. And I've listed it out there. Let's just turn over to Genesis chapter 22. This is a passage that we read often and are very familiar with the story, but I think it again shows us the priority or the focus that God Himself places on love. And it corroborates our first point. So Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt or test Abraham, and said unto Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. And so here is the first mention of the word love in the Bible. And sometimes it's good to take our thoughts back to where does God introduce a topic to us? And in the topic of love, God introduces the topic of love in the context of a father's love for his son. We read in verse 2, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there. And you know, it seems to be full of meaning, because as we go forward, we see that this example of Abraham being tested by God, it was his only son. It was the son of promise, Isaac, that was given to him. It was the son that he loved, and he was to take him to this mountain and to offer him there, was the command that God gave him. And we know that ultimately a lamb was provided, but you know, it makes us think of the fact that God certainly loved his son and sent him into the world and sent him, the one that he loved, as an offering for the sins of the world. And so we start with that place, that the first love was the Father's love for his son. And we see that if we continue on, we have these two in perfect balance in the life of the Lord Jesus. The love of Christ for His Father and the obedience that He demonstrated. For that, I wanted us to turn over to the Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 31. And this is a remarkable verse also when you place it in the context of the Gospel of John. So John chapters 13 to 17 are the upper room ministry of the Lord Jesus. This was right before he was betrayed. A time spent with his disciples. He celebrated the Passover with them, and then he went out to be betrayed. In the Gospel of John, there are seven times where it says that the Father loves the Son. There are seven times that it says the Father loves the Son. But there's only one time that it says that Christ loved his Father. And the one time in the Gospel of John is in this verse, John chapter 14, verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise, let us go hence. In this verse we have the perfect balance between Christ's love for his Father and the obedience that he demonstrated. In this verse, clearly chronologically, it would seem like John arranged this differently than maybe Christ gave it, because it seems like Christ is going out of the upper room at this verse to be betrayed. But here Christ is saying to his disciples that the whole world would know his love for his Father. And how is the whole world going to know his love for his Father? It says, as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. It was the obedience of the Lord Jesus to his Father's commands that demonstrated his love for his Father. And what were the commandments that his Father gave him to do? So for that, if you do a search in the Gospel of John for the commandments that Christ speaks of in relation to his Father, you'll be taken to two places. So let's go back a few chapters of John chapter 10. And this holds very well together. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And so we see that one of the commandments that Christ was given by his Father was the authority to lay down his life and to take it again. The authority to lay down his life and to take it again. And so this is one of the commandments that Christ was given. And when we compare that with John chapter 14, verse 31, we see that that's what Christ was leaving the upper room to do. He was going out to be betrayed. He had authority to lay down his life, and he had authority to take it again. And he ultimately laid down his life. If you turn over a couple more chapters to John chapter 12, we'll read verses 49 to 50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So the things that Christ spoke while he was here on earth were the very commands of his Father. And those commands were life everlasting. I know that his commandment is life everlasting. And so when we put these things together, we see that, you know, the commands that his Father gave to him were ultimately demonstrated by Christ in his obedience in going to the cross. And so we have that perfect balance, Christ recognizing his Father's love for him and Christ responding in love and obedience to his Father in his life. This is the same cycle that we saw in our own Christian life in response to Christ's love. And if you turn over to John chapter 15, we see that the same thing that was to happen in our Christian life, that whenever we abide in Christ's love, well, this was the same thing that the Lord Jesus did. Let's start reading in John chapter 15. We'll read starting in verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye, or abide, in my love. If ye keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know, when you read these verses with a backdrop of what we've talked about in my last message and in this message, you really see that there's this great parallelism that exists in what God ultimately intended for the life that his Son was to live and the life that he intends for us to live as believers. He says, you know, as the Father has loved me, well, the same way that his Father loved him, that's the same love that Christ demonstrates to us. And he says, abide in my love. And he says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Well, that's the command to us, but how did Christ live his life? Well, he says, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You know, so you see this very clear parallel for us in our Christian life versus how Christ lived his Christian life. And then he says in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. There was a joy that the Lord Jesus has that we can certainly experience in our Christian life if these things are in the right balance. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says that the Lord Jesus was anointed with joy, more joy than his brethren, because he rejoiced in righteousness. And that's a joy that we can experience in our life and what the Lord Jesus wants us to experience, that my joy might remain in you. And so, you know, I just want to crystallize or solidify in your minds that this is what God intends for us in our Christian life. And what God intends for us in our Christian life isn't something that he just set aside as a pattern and said, this is what you need to do. It was a pattern that was lived out and demonstrated while Christ was on earth. And it's that pattern that we are to demonstrate in our own lives. And so while I have focused up to this point on the two aspects, love and obedience, it goes well beyond this. And so I took a few verses from the Gospel of John, where Christ speaks of his relationship with his Father. And I compared them with what we have in the New Testament in regards to our Christian lives. So let's just read these. You don't have to flip through the Bible. I have them all in the handout here. John chapter 6, verse 57. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. So what is Christ saying here? That the life that he lives by his Father. Well, what's the operative principle for us in our Christian life? Well, we're all familiar with Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the same way that the Father was living his life out through the Son while on earth, that's the same principle for Christ to be living in us. Let's continue on. John chapter 10, verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. Knowledge, relationship was there. And so the Father knew his Son, the Lord Jesus. Well, Christ knew humanity very well. John chapter 2, verse 24. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And so Christ knows humanity, but it also said that Christ knew his Father even as the Father knew him. And there's a verse in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that Paul is speaking, that I may know him, that is the Lord Jesus, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. And so this principle that operated in the life of the Lord Jesus should be operating in our lives, that we should desire to know Christ. We already read John chapter 12, verse 50, but there we read that the words that Christ spoke were the words that were given to him by his Father. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, 23, that what he received from the Lord, that he delivered unto the people. We should have our ears open to what God is speaking to us and be able to be led by him to share, just in the same way that Christ spoke these words. And we talked about obedience, how the same way that Christ was obedient to his Father, we should be obedient to the Lord Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And our love for others, he says, John chapter 15, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Christ was able to take that love that he received from his Father, and he was able to love us as well. And what are we to do in John chapter 13, verse 34? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. We're to love others. And what's the example? Well, we take the way that Christ loved us, and that's our example. And then the mission that we're sent out with, the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 17, as you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. As Christ was sent into the world, we are sent into the world as well. Then Jesus said again in John 20:21, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And so, again, the point is for us to be able to look into the Gospels and the life that we can come to understand through the Lord Jesus and see that that's the example for us as believers. And anything that God intended for us to do, he's already shown the example and done in his Son. And you know, when you start to think of these thoughts, it can be a little overwhelming or difficult to see how practically you put this into your Christian life. And you know, this is certainly something that I have to work on, and I don't have it figured out. I was even contemplating not delivering this message, because when you think of these thoughts, they're so high, but yet you see such difficulty in putting them into practice in your life. But I wanted to just share a few verses that show us that it's not impossible and that that's what God really does intend for us. And so let's just spend the last few minutes of the message today thinking about those things. So let's go to John chapter 14, verses 18 and 19. So John chapter 14, verses 18 and 19. These are when Christ is speaking about the Holy Spirit that's going to be given, how Christ was going to be leaving the world. And certainly the disciples were troubled over that. But he says in John chapter 14, verse 18, "I will not leave you orphans or comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." So, you know, the Lord Jesus is saying that even though he's going to heaven, you know, the disciples thought that since he was no longer there bodily with him, that that was going to be the end of things for them. But in reality, we know that when Christ went up into heaven, he sent a comforter. He sent the Spirit of God to indwell believers. And that's the key to being able to put these in practice. You know, the Spirit of God is called in Romans chapter 8 the Spirit of Christ. And it's the Christ life that the Spirit of God is to work out in our lives. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 and let's just consider that together. So Peter here speaking. I'll start in verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." You know, God has done everything that's necessary for life and godliness. And he's allowed us to become partakers of the divine nature. Once we're saved, we have a new nature. The old things have passed away, all things have become new. And this divine nature is what God has given to us. And so it is a possibility that we can be changed to live a life like the Lord Jesus. And finally, to continue on with this thought of the Spirit of God being the one who gives us the ability in our Christian lives, let's go to Romans chapter 8 and read a couple verses there. Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Romans chapter 8, reading in verse 10, it says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." You know, so we, in our association with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're now dead to sin. We're also alive to righteousness. We should walk in newness of life. And in the same way, we have the Spirit of God that has come to indwell us. And it's the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead. And that same principle that we see in Christ's life of being raised from among the dead and seated at God's right hand above all principality and power, that's the same principle that's at work in us. It's going to give life. It's going to quicken our mortal bodies. And how is that done? It's by the Spirit that dwells in us. And so when it comes to these principles and the perfect pattern that God has given us in the Christian life, it's that we should look at the Lord Jesus and what God has intended for us to be while here on the earth is demonstrated in the life of the Lord Jesus. And it isn't something that's too high or unattainable in our lives. It's something that God has already paved the way, made the way possible for us to demonstrate. And it's by the Spirit of God being active and allowing us to have reign in us that we're able to demonstrate these things. So, you know, when it comes to the transcendent example that we have in the Lord Jesus, we can take our eyes off of our failures and look to him and see the perfect pattern and plan that God has for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word and how it does speak to us of the Lord Jesus, and how the perfect revelation of God to man, the perfect man, was the Lord Jesus while he was here on earth. And he's everything that we need when it comes to living our Christian life. He's our example. His spirit that he sent is the power that we need to be able to put the divine nature to work or practice in our own lives. And we just pray that our hearts might be encouraged with this, that we might see that there's hope, that we might continually be putting away the old man and be renewed in the new man, be created in the new man according to the righteousness and true holiness that comes from you. And so for that, we just commit ourselves to you as you would work these words into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.